From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. In the opening verse of chapter 13, the Lord declares that Joshua was old and stricken in years, yet there remained very much land to be possessed. In verse 6, God instructs Joshua to settle the people in the land and to divide it to them by lot. Joshua had finished the work to which he had been called, conquering the major cities of the land. Yet the children of Israel had yet to possess all of the territory for themselves. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will draw a parallel between the work of Joshua and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we'll see, Christ set out to win the blessings of God's grace for lost sinners. Then he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. Like Joshua, the Lord Jesus had a definite purpose in view, and he accomplished what he set out to do. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. This liberty makes us free to heaven's charter, the Bible. Here is a choice passage for thee, believer. When thou passest through the rivers, I will be with thee. You are free to that. Here is another. The mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. You are free to that. You are a welcome guest at the table of the promises. Scripture is a never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. It is the bank of heaven. You may draw from it as much as you please, without let or hindrance. Come in faith, and you are welcome to all covenant blessings. There is not a promise in the Word which shall be withheld. In the depths of tribulations, let this freedom comfort you. Amidst waves of distress, let it cheer you. When sorrows surround thee, let it be thy solace. This is thy Father's love token. Thou art free to it at all times. Thou art also free to the throne of grace. It is the believer's privilege to have access at all times to his heavenly Father. Whatever our desires, our difficulties, our wants, we are at liberty to spread all before him. It matters not how much we may have sinned. We may ask and expect pardon. It signifies nothing how poor we are. We may plead his promise that he will provide all things needful. We have permission to approach his throne at all times, in midnight's darkest hour, or in the noontide's most burning heat. Exercise thy right, O believer, and live up to thy privilege. Thou art free to all that is treasured up in Christ, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It matters not what thy need is, for there is fullness of supply in Christ, and it is there for thee. Oh, what a freedom is thine! Freedom from condemnation, freedom to the promises, freedom to the throne of grace, and at last, freedom to enter heaven. From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Making a little progress through the book of Joshua now, and we come to the 13th chapter. Having spent a little time in the 12th chapter, to the surprise I know of many who wondered why we would spend time in a chapter that's half made up of a list of names, we proceed now to chapter 13. We're going to read the opening 6 verses of the chapter. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted unto the Canaanite. 5 lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites, the Eshcolonites, the Gittites and the Ekronites, also the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, Merah, that is beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth-Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. I want us to turn our attention particularly to verse 1, but keeping in mind the final words also that we read in verse 6. Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Then at the end of verse 6, Them will I drive out before the children of Israel, only divide thou it by lot unto the children of Israel for an inheritance. The words of verse 1 meant very different things to Joshua and to Israel. To Israel, these words were a call to continued battle for the full possession of the land which the Lord had given them. To Joshua, on the other hand, they were a call to cease from battle, that battle in which he had been for many years now engaged, and to spend the last few years of his life in dividing the land among the children of Israel. Joshua had finished his warfare, and now he had to attend to the important business of settling the children of Israel into the land which he had won for them. The settlement would have been impossible without the warfare. On the other hand, the warfare would have been absolutely wasted without the settlement. So these two aspects of Joshua's work were equally important. Keep them in mind, for they will be the basis of all that I want to say to you today. He had first to fight the battle and win the land, and then he had to settle that land or distribute it to the children of Israel. Now, in this, Joshua presents an exact parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we have seen that he does in many other parts of his ministry. Joshua doesn't only have the coincidence of the same name as Jesus, both meaning the same thing, one in Hebrew, one in Greek. They are the same name. There's more than a coincidence of name. As I have been pointing out as we have gone through this book of Joshua, Joshua's work is an Old Testament picture of the real work of the real Joshua, the real Jesus. And here we will see the parallel very, very clearly. For the Lord Jesus Christ also has two great parts to his work. Like Joshua, first of all, he had to win the blessings of grace for his people. And then, having won the blessings of grace for his people, he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. So here then are the two great parts of the work of Christ as our Redeemer. Today, keeping our Bible reading in our minds, using it as the background from which we will draw our information, I want us to think upon this great theme: redemption accomplished and applied. Redemption accomplished and applied. And I have three or four very, very simple truths to state about Christ and his redemption, which we will find clearly illustrated here in the book of Joshua. First of all, let me remark that the Lord Jesus Christ did all his work with the purpose of conferring its benefits on his people. Now think of those words very, very carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ did all his work with the purpose of conferring its benefits upon his people. In this, he fulfills the type of Joshua. Joshua did not fight his battles and win his victories without having before him a very definite and specific purpose. When Joshua fought these various kings and dispossessed them, when he took over the land of what was to be Israel, formerly Canaan, he did so in order to put his people in actual possession of that land, in actual enjoyment of the fruit of all his conquests. That was Joshua's purpose. And the same thing is true of the greater Joshua. In all that he did, the Lord Jesus Christ had a definite people in view. Never forget that. In all he did, he had a definite people in view. In all he did, he had a definite purpose in view. Now, it's very popular to speak of Christ's work, especially of Christ's death, as merely making salvation possible. According to this view, it's preached all over America, all over the world. The Lord Jesus did all this in order to make salvation possible. How many times people preach that, thinking in all sincerity that they are preaching the unadulterated gospel of the New Testament. According to this, all that the Lord Jesus actually did was to make men capable of being saved. In this view, he didn't aim at anything very definite. He didn't aim at anything more than simply making men capable of salvation. The view is, he wanted to save everybody without exception. Of course, it is admitted, he doesn't actually save everybody without exception. And of course, that leads to enormous problems. It's very hard to preach the Christ of the Bible and preach that he meant to do a whole lot, but he actually ended up doing a lot less than he intended. Very hard to preach the Christ of the Bible with that as your basic doctrine. The popular view, quite simply, is not the gospel. Now, it comes as a shock to many people when a preacher is audacious enough to say that. But I want you to understand it. The popular view that Jesus Christ, by his death, set out merely to make salvation possible just simply is not the gospel. Let me make this clear. When God sent his Son into the world, he had a definite purpose in view. He had a definite intention in sending him. What is that intention? Well, there are many scriptures that spell it out, but take, for instance, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sent his Son, literally, the propitiation for our sins. Now, what is a propitiation? There's a lot of learned discussion on what a propitiation is. Most of it is beside the point. We can come very simply and very quickly to the biblical definition of propitiation. First, it is something directed toward God. Let's understand that clearly. A propitiation is a sacrifice directed toward God to satisfy His justice and thereby provide the sole basis for the justification of sinners. That is a propitiation. Now says the Apostle John, God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to make a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, to satisfy the wrath of God against all our sins, and thereby provide the ground of our justification and our acceptance with God. That was God's intention in sending Christ into the world, that He would actually, not potentially, but actually satisfy the justice of God, the law of God, put away the wrath of God and the curse of God that was against our sin, and thereby give us the ground of justification. That was God's intention in sending His Son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.